A reading from the beginning of the Acts of the Apostles. In the first book, Theopolis, I dealt with all that Jesus did and taught until the day he was taken up, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them by many proofs after he had suffered, appearing to them during the 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While meeting with them, he enjoined them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, about which you have heard me speak. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. When they had gathered together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He answered them, It is not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has established by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him from their sight. While they were looking intently at the sky as he was going, suddenly two men dressed in white garments stood beside them. They said, Men of Galilee, why are you standing there looking at the sky? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will return in the same way as you have seen him going into heaven. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians. Brothers and sisters, may the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation, resulting in knowledge of him. May the eyes of your hearts be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope that belongs to his call, what are the riches of glory in his inheritance among the holy ones, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power for us who believe, in accord with the exercise of his great might, which he worked in Christ, raising him from the dead, and seating him at his right hand in the heavens, far above every principality, authority, power, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things beneath his feet, and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of the one who fills all things in every way. The word of the Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all nations beginning from Jerusalem. You are witness to these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father unto you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with the power on high. Then he led them out as far as Bethany. raised his hands and blessed them. As he blessed them, he parted from them and was taken up to heaven. They did him homage and then returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they were continually in the temple praising God. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Goes without saying that Jesus has had an enormous impact on the history of the world. And yet what is truly amazing is that Jesus exercised his ministry within a 150-mile radius. And so if you wanted to see him, touch him, hear him, you had to locate him someplace within that 150-mile radius. You had to travel either up to Galilee or down to Jerusalem to encounter him. So what really began in a relatively small geographic area eventually spread throughout the world. The good news that emerges out of this Feast of the Ascension that we celebrate today is that you no longer have to travel to Galilee or Jerusalem to find Jesus. His presence now transcends all spatial dimensions. His saving power is without borders. Our redemption is not bound by geography. There is, however, still a bodily dimension to Jesus. When he rose from the dead, he rose in bodily form, albeit a glorified body. That's what all those post-resurrection stories try to convey to us. Whether it was Thomas who asked to put his hand in the side of Christ, or the account of Jesus feeding his apostles fish on the shore of Galilee, or the experience of the two disciples on the road to Emmaus who encountered Jesus as fellow travelers, all these accounts witness to the truth that the risen Jesus had a physical body, albeit a glorified body, which was why they did not at first recognize him. And it was his glorified body that then ascends to heaven. So where do we find Jesus then? St. Augustine points out that although Christ is now exalted above the heavens, he still suffers on earth all the pain that we, the members of his body, have to bear. Augustine says, we ought to remember what Jesus said. Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Or, I was hungry and you gave me food. Recalling these passages helps us to appreciate how close Jesus really is. We should also remind ourselves that we can encounter the presence of Christ when the scriptures are proclaimed and the sacraments are celebrated. We discover the Lord in his body, the church, the living members of the glorified Christ. We were told that wherever two or three were gathered in his name, that he would be present. With Christ's ascension into heaven, he is no longer bound by that small geographic area, but now he is accessible universally. So what are the deeper implications of this feast for us? The preface of today's Mass says, Christ has gone from our sight, not to abandon us, but to be our hope. Where he has gone, we hope to follow. Pope Benedict XVI, in commentating on the Ascension, has said that it would be naive to literally interpret the account in the Acts of the Apostles to mean that there was some kind of liftoff at the Ascension, like a rocket going up from the NASA Space Center. In his writings, Pope Benedict cautions us not to think about the meaning of the Ascension in spatial terms, but as Jesus' promise to all of us that in him all humanity now has entered into the inner life of God in a new and previously unheard of way. Pope Benedict suggests that heaven is a person, Jesus himself. And so when we talk about going to heaven, it's a matter of our entering into more intimately into the risen and glorified Christ. We're taken up into Christ. And because the humanity of Christ has now been exalted and glorified, our humanity has already have found a place, an everlasting place in God. What all of this means then is that the line that we tend to draw between heaven and earth is thinner than it was before Christ ascended into heaven. That is why the gospel says the disciples returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Well, they may at first have been frightened about the prospect of Jesus leaving them. Now they understood that Jesus was going to be with them in a new and more penetrating way than before, and that their lives were already in some way taken up into God through Jesus. It's really a very profound mystery. It certainly is difficult to grasp, but it ought to inspire us and lead us in the right direction. Perhaps the best way to get a sense of this mystery is in the liturgy itself. Here we already sit at Christ's banquet table. Here we sing, "Holy, holy," with all the angels and saints. We already, as it were, have one foot in heaven when we celebrate the liturgy. It's an already but not yet experience. Today's feast is critical to our self-understanding as Christians. If we could only believe in the life that God has already breathed into us, if we could only grasp how we have already been raised up by God into a heavenly realm, if we could only learn to trust that Christ has not abandoned us or left us orphans, but is more present to us now than he was to his neighbors in Galilee, if we could only do that, would we not live differently? Would we not treat one another differently? Would we not live with greater hope and confidence? The final message of ascension is that we are left with the legacy of Jesus that compels us to go forth and spread the news that there is hope in God, that there is a forgiveness of sins, that there is a future that awaits us and yet has already begun. In Luke's gospel, he narrates the earthly ministry of Jesus. In the Acts of the Apostles, Luke's part two gospel, you might say, he shows that the ministry of Jesus is now continued in the church. The two men in white, the angels, are trying to reorient the disciples from gazing up, looking up into the sky, to carrying on the mission of Jesus. This is called the Great Commission. The mission and ministry of Jesus is handed on to us today. We too are called not to gaze into the sky, but to move forward. It's only because of that first group of disciples who took that commission seriously that we're able to be here today, thousands of miles from where it all began. May we then celebrate this feast with great hope, celebrate this commission that we've been given today, as we rejoice in the new and abiding presence of Jesus, truly present within us and among us.